This is a special Trenches Technology podcast series with your host, Sharon Bueno, managing editor of Trenches Technology Magazine. We're celebrating 50 years of horizontal directional drilling. 2021 marks the golden anniversary for horizontal directional drilling, better known as HDD. What started out as a 500-foot crossing pulling 4-inch pipe under the Pajaro River in Northern California has evolved into a multi-billion dollar global industry. Horizontal directional drilling is critical to the installation of water, sewer, natural gas, electric, telecom, and fiber lines around the world. The first two episodes of this special three-part HDD at 50 Trenches Technology podcast focused on two of the industry's pioneers, Martin Charrington and John Mercer. We conclude the special podcast with Dr. Sam Ariaratnam, widely known in Trenches circles simply as Dr. Sam, and who has been at the forefront of HDD research and education. For over 25 years, Sam has combined his immense knowledge of HDD education and research with what's going on in the industry outside of North America's borders. During that time, he has also helped launch the careers of countless Trenches engineers who are now leaders in the Trenches industry. As he notes in our interview, he has worked with our publishing company, Benjamin Media Incorporated, to organize the widely praised and respected HDD Academy to further the training of HDD operators in the field. He has also co-authored the HDD Good Practices Guidelines. In this episode, Sam shares his perspective of how HDD education has evolved and how it has shaped the industry. He also shares what HDD is doing around the world and what countries the application is becoming more widely used. And did you know there was a movie made in which horizontal directional drilling played a critical part in the story? Keep an ear open for that. Here's my conversation with Dr. Sam Ariaratnam. Well, hey, Sam, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Sharon. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, as you know, we're celebrating all things HDD in 2021 as it turns 50. So what are your thoughts about the industry turning 50, given that most of your entire career has been in this industry?
Absolutely. I mean, I got involved in 1996. So about 25 years or so I've been involved in HDD. Mm-hmm. So half of that time. But, you know, before that, I mean, for 25 years before that, there were so many big leaders that were part of it. And, you know, Martin Charrington certainly was such an innovator and such a visionary, and I had the pleasure to know him and that. And you know, and being able to vision and say, hey, you know, here's a problem that I need to solve back in 1971, and to do that and to see where the industry is today, it's incredible. I mean, 50 years of HDD. And what I'm most proud of is the fact that more and more people, common people, are familiar with HDD as a technology. I mean, it's taken a long time for it to become mainstream, but it's becoming more and more mainstream out there, and it's incredible. I mean, I drive every day, and when I'm going to work at Arizona State University, and I'll see an HDD rig pretty much every day, and I think that brings a big smile to my face, because just knowing that, you know, this is being used and it's really important in society.
And like you said, you've been in it for 25 years. How has it changed, I guess, from the point that you joined it to now? That was already 25 years at that point. But how far has it come from just the point?
Well, I think the one of the big things is I've seen more and more people that are involved in it, right? It's great to see more academics that are engaged in HDD research and education. It's great to see a lot more consulting engineers or design engineers that are learning about HDD, that are speccing HDD projects or designing HDD projects out there, and then seeing owners that are familiar with the terminology of horizontal directional drilling and knowing that the benefits of that and how it can really benefit society, and government agencies as well know about horizontal directional drilling. And I think that's what's exciting, because back 25 years ago, I mean, there was certainly certain people that knew about it, but it wasn't as widespread as it is today. And that's just in North America. And you look at it from a global perspective, I mean, all over the world, at all corners of the world, we're seeing HDD being done. And I think that's what's really fascinating. So those changes over the last 25 years, and I'm really, since I've been involved with it, have been fantastic. And so if you look at where it was 50 years ago to where it is today, and then just it's exciting to see in the next 50 years where what it's going to be like.
Now, your background offers a little bit different perspective. You're not a manufacturer. You're not in contracting, but you're involved in HDD research and education and have been at the forefront of those areas. since you got involved. Can you talk a little bit about
your involvement? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like anything, I'm a sponge for knowledge, and I learned a lot from the industry. I mean, these industry icons from the past, I mean, the Frank Cannons of the world, people like that, they really helped me. The Jim Rankins, I mean, these people have been around the industry for a very long time, and learning from people such as them have been very instrumental in my development. And all I've been able to, what I've tried to do is look at the problems, look at how we can solve them from an engineering perspective, and do the types of research that'll help promote HDD. What are the barriers? What are the things that people worry about with HDD and question? And as an academic and as a researcher and an educator, is to do the research and find these results and actually impart those and spread the word about, hey, don't worry about this. From an engineering perspective, this works, and not to be concerned about some of those aspects of it. And then furthermore, being able to teach the next generation of HDD or professionals that are going out in the industry about HDD and to understand the technologies.
Because you were already on faculty at the University of Alberta when you first got your introduction to HDD.
Yes, I was in 1996, and I was a young faculty member, and a contractor by the name of Casey Como came to the University of Alberta. He was a graduate of the University of Alberta, and he said, "Hey, I'm a horizontal directional drilling contractor, and I'd like to get involved." And that's where the journey started, right? At that point, it was myself. I had a PhD student by the name of Arez Alouche, and many people know Arez, he and I kind of started this journey together. And then we had a master's student by the name of Jason Luke that came on board as well. And we had other students, but those two really went on to get their PhDs and in the area of horizontal directional drilling and trenchless, right, as a whole, and have really been huge proponents of the industry and have gone on to be some of the leaders of the industry. And it all started back there in Edmonton, Alberta. And I'm really grateful to the industry there that really was supportive, and the industry all over as a whole. I had, you know, many people from the States that had come up to Canada from various manufacturers and that had come to learn about what we were doing in Alberta, and they were very supportive of it. So I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the industry and the support that I've had from them.
Yeah, those names you mentioned, Jason and Arez, everybody knows who those. They are among the leaders of this generation. HDD
Oh, absolutely, group. Absolutely, and they're doing some. They've been involved in some monumental projects. Both of them were in academics at one point, and then they went to industry, and they're leaders in their field of designing and inspecting and constructing these HDD type projects.
How has HDD grown over the last 5 decades? In your opinion, what have been some of the biggest triggers in pushing it forward and becoming more mainstream?
Well, I think, you know, we started out a lot of here in North America, right? I mean, Ditwitch and Vermeer, they're, you know, certainly the world leaders, right? Those two companies are the world leaders in manufacturing of HDD, and they've done a lot of their own internal R&D. And when they started to get more global, we have rig manufacturers all over the world, right? I mean, India even has one called Apollo that's fairly recent. And China has probably 20, 25 different manufacturers of equipment. And of course, in Europe, we've got the Heron Connects and some of the other companies that have manufactured equipment and that. And so when it started to get global, and that's what I've seen in the last 20 years, is the globalization of the industry, seeing these big projects that have gone around the world, and that's really what's made it bigger and bigger. You know, but Australia, you see a huge, you know, big market for HDD. We're seeing all kinds of things as well. China, I mean, India, China, big projects with HDD, and these are massive projects. You know, the West East pipeline in China, which brought natural gas and oil from the western part of China to the eastern part, and a lot of HDD was being done. They had to cross rivers. So they had to do the Yangtze River, the Yellow River, all these rivers crossings that had to be done. And they were massive projects. You look at India, the big Reliance, the telecom project that they had. They went from a 2G to a 4G, and it was HDD that was doing that project. So these were massive countrywide, nationwide projects that were there. And here in the U.S., with all of our telecom projects that we've had in the past, the present, and then of course in the future will be going on as well too. The gas distribution projects. I mean, those types of things. And Europe is the same thing with with the telecom projects, the Middle East, you know, we're seeing HD. I mean, HD was a very important part in Dubai with the construction going on there. They had to use that for the Palm Islands, right? How do you think they got the utilities to the Palm Islands? They use HCD. So it's exciting to see from a global perspective what's gone on with the industry.
What were the early days of HCD research and education like when you first started? Was there much out there? I mean, or were you kind of like starting from scratch with a lot of these
back
things?
Well, back in the early days, there wasn't a lot. I mean, the manufacturers, they did, you know, some of their own education and that. An organization called the Directional Crossing Contractors Association, you know, they, you know, merged into the Distribution Contractors Association, which is an outstanding group that does excellent work in HCD, and it represents a lot of HCD stakeholders, right, of all levels and that. But, you know, the DCCA, they had some guidance documents out there. The Association of Equipment Manufacturers, I mean, they had a lot of safety, you know, type things and proper protocol and that. But what really changed a lot was the big level three project in the late 90s. And what happened there, there was some problems with HCD and in the state of California, Caltrans came and said, you know what, we can't have HCD going under our highways and our roadways and that. And they came to NASTT, the North American Society for Trenches Technologies, and they said, look, you know, what can we be done? And collectively, NASTT joined, you know, five other key organizations, associations, and they formed a HCD consortium. And they had 18 members in the consortium. And that included, you know, the manufacturers, the contractors, suppliers, engineers, you know, whole group of different people. And they said, we've got to have a good practices. And Dr. David Bennett and myself, you know, wrote the, and Casey Como was involved in the first one as well, too. We wrote the HCD good practices guidelines. And that was really the industry input. And we took all these guidance documents that were out there and we wrote it to provide good practices for HDD. As well, within that, through NASTT kind of leading the way, and John Hemphill was kind of he was the executive director at the time that really took it. And we had these Caltrans programs, and they were three-day programs in California. We went all around the state. And basically we had day one and day three were classrooms, and the middle day was in a field where they would run through stations and learn about drilling fluid, about locating, about tooling, about different aspects. And we brought all kinds of, you know, inspectors from California, engineers. We had some contractors. We had people from government agencies like environmental groups and things like that that came through these. And we did a whole bunch of these all around the state. And I think that was really what kind of was took the industry to the next level, because that was the first time collectively we got together and really imparted those types of training. And I was like honored to be part of that. And I mean, the key people in the industry were involved in that. I mean, you name it, they were all part of this group, and all the manufacturers of equipment and suppliers, they all banded together, and they knew that as a group, we have to work together as a group to really promote it. And that helped with that project, you know, being done, and it helped really prove HCD and the good practices guidelines. You know, that actually was the first real documentation that was out there approved by the industry. It wasn't, you know, Dave Bennett and myself saying, hey, you know, this is what you're going to do. It was, we took all this, we wrote it, but we had the input and the blessing of the industry as a whole. So it truly is an industry document that's supported fully by the industry and really represents what the industry wants out there.
Well, conversely, what is it like today? And you mentioned the turning point, what you thought was a turning point for more. Are there more research dollars out there that you can do more kinds of research projects in this era than it was, say, 25, 30 years ago?
Yeah, I think so. I think for sure. I think you're seeing, you know, a lot more dollars that are available for this type of thing, for HCD research and for research in general. But it's not just here in North America. But if you look at China, they're spending millions and millions of dollars doing research on trenchless technologies underground, and HCD is a big part of that as well, too. Right. And other places. And so from a global perspective, we're seeing a lot more of that. And really, it's the engineering of HCD. Right. And to show people that, you know, it is a construction process, but there's engineering and science behind it that it's just not mm-hmm. just being done on the fly, that it, there is something to it.
Talk a little bit about what are the educational opportunities out there today for student engineers? What is available out there?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things, like NASCT has these student chapters, right? They have, I think, 18 student mm-hmm. chapters now, and it fluctuates and that all over the country, in Canada and the US as well, right? And so with those student chapters, for sure, they get exposure to all different types of trenches technologies, and HDD is one of them, right? Whether it be the mm-hmm. academic teaching about HDD to these civil engineering and construction students, or they're bringing in guest speakers, if that's not really their area of strength mm-hmm. in that. But not only that, but I'm, you know, you're finding other universities that don't necessarily have a student chapter, but they are bringing that as a, when they're talking about construction technology or construction techniques, HDD is one of those techniques. And so all we really look at is mm-hmm. that anybody who's coming out with a civil engineering or a construction management type degree, they at least have some familiarity with HDD. And so they can, when they get mm-hmm. out in the real world and they're working, you know, an example, I mean, I've had students that have gone out and done, like, the working for land developers, or, you know, and they go, hey, I remember you talking about this HDD. That could be a way for, we could put some of the utilities in our site, right? And mm-hmm. and so they come back 5, 6, 7 years later and they call and they say, hey, mm-hmm. I remember that lecture or those lectures on HDD. And that's really how we bring it forward in that. That's just the ones mm-hmm. in school. The ones that are out of school that maybe didn't get that, there's all kinds of programs out there that, you know, you could do. I mean, NASTT has a good practices guidelines for HDD. The courses that we have that are all over, you know, we always have them at the No Dig Show, but they're also delivered in local areas as well, too, through different mm-hmm. different shows and different regional events and that. Those are really valuable. The American Society of Civil Engineers also has HDD training classes that are good for all stakeholders. So these aren't just limited to a designer, but it could be designers, it could be suppliers, contractors, agencies, all of those. I also host this with Benjamin Media. We host HDD Academy every year here in Arizona. And so that's mm-hmm. also a two-day program that offers it. And other people and other groups have training programs for HDD, not only here in North America, but also internationally. You go to Europe and China and places like that, they have training programs as well that are trying to educate people on HDD. So you have a lot of different options out there that you can learn about it.
When did HDD education become part of maybe industry events? You mentioned a couple of No Dig Show. There's also the HDD Academy, as you said, and we years ago we were involved with the HDD Rodeo, and there was an educational component to that as well. But when did you start seeing more of those kind of opportunities available for today's professional who maybe not just an engineer, but they're a driller, they work with the crew, but they can have these educational opportunities?
Well, I mean, as I said previously, the manufacturers, Ditch Witches, the Vermeers, DCIs, those people, they've had their own educational programs, right? Where they'll do at their local dealership level or at the mm-hmm. factory and that. And they're fantastic. I mean, they've been excellent programs. But I think when it really came about was those HD rodeos that Benjamin Media used to have. And you and I, you know, we've been on all of them, right? And we'd have them in Georgia and Texas and all that. And I think those were fantastic events. And that was where we really brought these contractors and suppliers and people on board. And, mm-hmm. and we come out there and have these little fun competition of drilling and really showed, you know, what you can do with horizontal directional drilling. We always had the educational component. I think that was really the start mm-hmm. of when we really truly had an event that had, you know, this competition, but yet we had that. And then, of course, once the good practices in 2001 is when NASCT did the first HDD good practices training course. Mm-hmm. Right. And then that sort of led to other things and other shows as well. We're having HDD. And I know I've done events at, you know, with AWWA that's related to HDD. And I've done it at mm-hmm. the UCT show and other shows like that, that have had those that have come to the forefront. And I think that's excellent. No matter what show you're at, it's good to have at least, you know, whether it's a half a day or a one day kind of introduction or level mm-hmm. of HDD. I think it's really valuable.
We were talking about the rodeos. They were international rodeos, so it drew a lot of international attendees and competitors to those rodeos, the competition. We had companies coming from Poland, Germany, and we had so many from around the world coming. you served as ISDT chairman many years ago.
Like 2010 to 2013, I was the chairman of ISDT.
And you got a bird's eye view of what the global market was like then. You traveled quite a bit. How would you describe the global market today versus 10, 15 years ago?
Oh, I mean, tremendous growth in the global market. And I think that was really, you know, back then, the equipment were really North American and some European, mm-hmm. you know, manufactured. But then when you started seeing manufacturing done, like in China and now India, I mean, that just sort of even opened it up even more to having more contractors and in the area, particularly Southeast Asia, right? In those areas, Indonesia, mm-hmm. Vietnam, Philippines, Thailand, I mean, those places like that, you're seeing some of that going on. But back then we didn't have a lot of HDD, but from a global perspective, I mean, 10, 15, 20 years ago, today it's everywhere, right? Everywhere you go, you see HDD mm-hmm. Equipment. And as ISDT chairman, I mean, I oversaw activities. ISDT has, you know, 40 different countries and 28 societies at the time. There's HDD in all of these, right? You know, whether you're mm-hmm. down in Colombia or Brazil or Bulgaria, I mean, you know, all these places, Poland, I mean, they all have HDD going mm-hmm. on. And I think that's the beauty of it, is the technology. I mean, and you know, I think when you reflect back, just knowing that, you know, 50 years ago, you know, Martin Charrington had this idea, and to see where it is today, I mean, that's so impactful, right? Think about that. We can trace the origin of the technology.
What areas in the world do you think are strongest in directional drilling right now? And what maybe were some of the areas that are up and coming?
Well, certainly North America. I mean, you know, Canada, the US, I mean, obviously, I mean, those are the big markets for horizontal directional drilling, right? That's where, the two of the major manufacturers are, you know, Ditchwitch and Premier are based mm-hmm. here. And so we see a lot of HDD going on here in North America. But then I see Southeast Asia is a big region, because these are regions where you have big growth in populations and old aging infrastructure. They have to upgrade those and that. And so China certainly is a huge market. And India, I mean, when you have, you know, 1.3 billion, 1.2 billion people living there, you have to find ways of installing your underground urban infrastructure without digging up the road. There's HDD, you know, it's so versatile because it can install so many different types of underground infrastructure. So I think those are really the big markets of HDD. And you do see HDD for oil and gas pipelines in, you know, the Middle East and in Russia and that. But if you're looking at just generally, those would be the markets. Australia, of course, we have HDD. But the up and coming emerging markets are those Southeast Asian markets. I mean, Indonesia, Vietnam, Thailand, Philippines. I mean, those, you know, Malaysia, you know, those are the areas that you have the most promising growth that can occur in HDD and has been occurring.
What words would you use to describe HDD's growth over the years? Are there any that come to mind, good adjectives that come to mind to describe just the explosive growth?
Yeah, exponential. I think it's exponential growth. You know, I think it's just every year we just continue to grow and grow and grow and we have more and more rigs, more and mm-hmm. more projects out there from where we were. I mean, we started at one rig and we're probably, mm-hmm. you know, estimated at probably 45 to 50,000 rigs out there in the world, right? I mean, that's what we would, you know, I would estimate to be in terms of where we're at. So exponentially, we're having growth in the industry. And we're getting more and more contractors that are joining the industry.
Well, that's always a cool thing. I mean, there was a time like in the early 90s when that you were talking about the level 3 fiber to the home projects, how it just grew so much in the early 90s with that. You had such an influx of contractors coming in at that time.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, that was really big. But then, you know, there's booms and busts, right? And I think the industry's gotten smarter, yep. right? They're not putting all their eggs in one basket, and that they're looking at multiple avenues, right? So you, mm-hmm. you'd have a contractor that came in and said, oh, all I install is telecom, right? And if telecom lines were not, you know, they had the boom and then they had the bust, then they had to reinvent themselves and try to find other ways to do it. You know, with this global pandemic, I mean, one of the things HD has really come to the rescue, because one of the things that was really evident all over the world is that with people working from home, kids doing their school from home, that we have a lack of broadband, right? Broadband needs to be increased mm-hmm. and improved. And so the only way to do that is to put more lines in the ground and upgrade those systems, right? Going to 5G has got to be the norm, right? We're not 3G or 2G anymore. We've got to be up at 5G to be able to handle all the video conferencing and the meetings. And I think it's going to continue. I think, you know, kids will go back to school. Universities will be live but people will still have these Zoom meetings. They've gotten used to it now. And so if you've got quick meetings instead of flying to a location, I mean, you can get your work done more effectively and from cost effectively and more efficiently by doing it this way. I mean, still people will meet. It'll be interesting to see how like the workplace is going to be for just general office work. Right. I mean, are people going to, and I'm already talking to companies in our, you know, in just in the construction industry that are, you know, having or industries as a whole, not only construction, that are saying, you know, we've gotten rid of half of our office space because we're going to have more people working from home and, you know, and so on. But that requires an uptick in their telecommunication networks. And that's where HDD really plays a big role. And that's globally. I mean, everybody's putting in new fiber optic lines, and they have to continue to do that to upgrade the broadband.
And fiber is the big thing right now, but oil and gas is still there as a huge part of the HDD market.
Oh, definitely. I mean, when you look at some of the oil and gas projects, I mean, this is globally. I mean, there are huge projects in that. Natural gas distribution is big. I mean, natural gas to me, clean burning energy and natural gas distribution is huge. I'm a big proponent. I mean, when we bought our house here in Arizona, we said, you know, one of the things we have to have natural gas, right, for cooking and for all of that. And so that was a no-go. If it wasn't natural gas, we weren't going to buy a house in that. And how are these distribution lines being put in? Well, a large part of those are horizontal directional drilling. And if you look around the country, particularly here in the U.S., is that every one of those every gas distribution owner right now is in the process of upgrading their systems. And so they're starting, you know, pre-1970s, we're going to replace those. And then pre-1980s, and they're just doing replacements of their distribution system. And all of these are in urban areas. And so as a result, you're using HDD. So that's just another application. So you have a lot of contractors out there that are using HDD for natural gas replacement programs. They're massive programs in the millions and millions of dollars, right? And it's everywhere.
Oh, it's definitely everywhere. When I first started at Benjamin Media, 1998, you never saw a drilling rig in the neighborhoods. And I live in a mid-sized city, I would say. And I see directional drilling rigs all over the place now when I'm driving around town. Since I've been with Benjamin Media like 20 some years, and just you see them all the time now. Whereas back when I started, you didn't see hardly any. It was like a novelty when you saw one sitting on the curb doing work. Now they're everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. And it's really great to see. I love every time I see a directional drill rig on the road, it brings a big smile to my face because I just know that, hey, this industry is just continuing to grow and it's doing something to help betterment of society. And that's what that's what we do with HDD.
How would you describe what the lasting impact of HDD has been on infrastructure installation?
Well, I mean, from a lasting impact, I mean, it's going to continue to grow, right? And I think that the impact of it is it's a very tight community, right? It's a big community, but yet it's very tight, very close. I mean, people in the HD industry, and it's not just here in North America, but from a global perspective. I mean, I've made so many really good friends all over the world just being connected through this industry, right? And we have a lot of memories of trips and events and things like that we've all been involved with. And many people have stories like that, just like myself. And I think that's, you know, from a lasting impact, you have these lifelong friendships that you've made in the industry and just gotten to know so many different people in the industry. But HDD as a technology has brought a lot of different stakeholders together, right? It's the glue that's held it together. The technology has brought, I mean, just think about how many, you know, design engineers and how many manufacturers and suppliers and government agency folks and educators and students and people just in general in the industry, contractors that have all gotten together just because of this industry. And when you look at our urban infrastructure, this has been really critical. It's been necessary to have HDD. Imagine a world without HDD. Imagine how are you going to put these pipelines across a river or water body? How are you going to put all these telecom lines or gas or electrical distribution lines in an urban environment. So there's the impact right there.
I mean, we're lucky too, because we have so many pioneers in the industry that are still working in the industry. I mean, Martin still is involved in the industry, which is amazing. After 50 years, he's still doing the work. He's not a contractor anymore, but he's still actively involved. There are many pioneers still working. I mean, some unfortunately have passed, but a lot of them are still working.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what's even more fascinating is that the next generation of those people are working. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the John Mercers, the Peter Hamlings, I mean, their kids are now in the industry, right? You look at Mary Andringa and Jason, yeah. You know, Jason Andringa is in the industry, right? And his sister Mindy as well. And so, I mean, it's just kind of neat to see that aspect of it, that family businesses that started, and that's the beauty of HCD, is a lot of these started out as, you know, in a basement almost, right? Or a garage, right? And then they became these big international companies. Mm-hmm. And then you see the second mm-hmm. and third generations of these families. You look at that, yeah. Like just even like Maynard Ackerman, right? And his kids, you know, involved mm-hmm. in it, or Barbco, right? Being their kids involved in it. And mm-hmm. and so I love seeing that, or kind of neat to see in our industry, Melsheimers as well, and others, you know, so mm-hmm. that generation has gotten involved in the industry. And that's kind of the lasting leg. So there's a legacy that will mm-hmm. always be there.
I am. And you used to be one of the next generations. Now you're talking about the new generation.
Oh, there's already, many Sam. Generations behind me. So yes, It's interesting. Yes, I was a long time ago, but now I've been in it for so long, but it's been a great ride. I'm continuing to enjoy every moment of it.
So what are you looking forward to with HCD in the future? You see another rodeo under your belt coming?
Yeah, I think the rodeo was a fun event. I think it brought everyone together, and I'd love to see another rodeo somewhere. I mean, I think it was just a great event to come to and meet, you know, drillers from all different parts of the country and people, and we'd have good barbecue and things like that. So, I mean, I think those are fun events, but I look to see, you know, more use of HDD. I mean, when you think about HDD and you look at, you know, agencies that are aware of HDD. I mean, I've talked to people at NASA, I've talked to people at Homeland Security, the mm-hmm. EPA, you know, different groups like that they're all aware of HDD. And that's something you didn't see, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Right. And now you, mm-hmm. these people are aware of it. And so the future is really bright in terms of that. And continue to grow. I see a lot more some of the research and development, but I think one of the things that people don't understand, or some people don't recognize with HDD, is that, I mean, it's a trenchless technology, and HDD is actually has a lot of technological advancements. When you think about the mm-hmm. things that we're doing with HDD, and, you know, cloud-based storage, and, you know, using, you know, GPS type technologies and all kinds of intelligent workplace solutions and things like that for making the job more technologically advanced. I mean, back in the old day, we would just sketch out, you know, here's our as-built drawing. Now we can do things electronically and have file sharing and all kinds of things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's where you see a lot of innovation going on.
It'd be cool to see what's going to happen in the next 50 years.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be things like, you know, I mean, we might get to the point where we'd have, you know, we have driverless cars. I mean, I have no doubt we'll have, you know, operatorless drills, right? I mean, why not? I mean, we can pre-program the rig and it'll do its work itself, right? I mean, those are things like that, I mean, you have to dream to see where it's going to go. I mean, I think that will be something that is entirely possible to have in there. But then what else is there going to be? We just continue to have innovations in our industry, and, mm-hmm. and yeah, the next 10 years, next 15, 20 years are going to bring a lot of different innovations for sure. There's no doubt about it.
Before I let you go, Sam, you were telling me about this really cool movie you stumbled upon on a recent trip, maybe it wasn't so recent trip, but you stumbled upon this movie that actually directional drilling caught your attention.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was on a flight between San Francisco and Beijing, China, and I stumbled upon this movie called The Hummingbird Project. And I thought, well, this is interesting. So I watched the trailer for it, and I thought, oh my gosh, there's horizontal directional drilling. And, you know, the premise of the story is that
These guys want to build a fiber optic cable network from Kansas to the New Jersey, New York area. And so they call it the Hummingbird because it's if they can get data within milliseconds of faster speed, then they'll make millions and millions of dollars on the stock market in trading and that. And a hummingbird's wing, I guess, it flaps in a millisecond. And that's why they call it the Hummingbird Project. But it was very interesting. I mean, it was a star-studded cast. I mean, it's Salma Hayek, Alexander Skarsgård, Jesse Eisenberg. We're all starred in this movie and that. But what I thought was fantastic was it was really a showcase for horizontal directional drilling. I mean, we had Digital Control was in there with their locating system, Ditchwitch, Vermeer, American Auger's rigs. I mean, they were all there and they really featured, you know, all different types of rigs doing some pretty interesting things to put this fiber optic cable. And, you know, I thought was one of the things I thought was fascinating was they were going to neighborhoods and they were explaining to these people that, can we just drill underneath your property? We need to, you know, put this line through. And they were explaining the technology to them and people were like, sure, no problem. So it was kind of neat to see.
How did we not know about this?
See, that's a mystery to me. I have no idea. Like, I would have loved to have been involved in that movie. I mean, it's a cool movie, and but we didn't know about it.
Did they get it right? The stuff they were talking about, directional drilling, did they explain it properly? And
yeah, absolutely. I thought it was really good. I mean, the way they did it. And I highly recommend anybody who's interested in HDD and to watch it. It was an entertaining movie, nonetheless. And having horizontal directional drilling industry and, you know, in that, I thought was even more beneficial.
So you give it two big thumbs up.
I give it a thumbs up for just entertainment value in that. Yes.
That's it for this Trenchless Technology podcast. I want to thank Dr. Sam Iriratnam for joining me today to learn more about all the goings on in the trenchless world, including my cover story on HDD turning 50. Check out the latest issue of Trenchless Technology magazine, finding it in your mailbox, inbox, or online at trenchlesstechnology.com.
This has been a Trenchless Technology podcast. To hear more of my conversations about the trenchless industry, go to trenchlesstechnology.com/podcast.